Should like to read from two scriptures tonight. The first in the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis. I want to read in Genesis chapter 28. Reading Genesis chapter 28 and reading from verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted in a certain place and lodged there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place, and made it his pillow, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, angels of God ascended and descended upon it. And behold, Jehovah stood above it, and he said, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places for which thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done what I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awoke from his sleep, and said, Surely Jehovah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Read the second scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way, which he has dedicated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, sprinkled as to our hearts from a wicked conscience, and washed as to our body with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of the hope unwavering, for he is faithful who has promised. And let us consider one another for provoking to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom is with some, but encouraging one another, and by so much the more as you see the day drawing near. It's an interesting thing. Perhaps, in case you've maybe already figured out, but I want to speak about houses, and in particular, the house of God. It just struck me because, due to the current situation, many of us, a large proportion anyway, have been spending an awful lot more time in our houses. And it just struck me that there is a house, a much more important house than the houses that we all dwell in, the houses that we live in, and that's the house of God. And I'd like to look at some of the things, how it appeals to us about the house of God, how we find it. Do we know much about it? Do we even know the God whose house it is? Do we have a relationship with him? Do we even believe in him? So I read these two scriptures. And the first speaks of Jacob and some of his adventures, as it were, and his life. And one of which was this place in which he had a dream. And God spoke to him in his dream. The God of this world, the God of the universe, my God, spoke to Jacob. In the Old Testament, he's called Jehovah, but we might substitute the word the Lord for that. God spoke to Jacob and gave him a promise, an amazing promise. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, part of that promise. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places to which thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done what I have spoken to thee of. Jacob received in his dream an amazing promise from God. An amazing promise from God. But at this point in his life, he didn't know God very well at all. He was quite far from God, wandering about in his own power and strength. So his reaction on waking up from this dream is to say, surely Jehovah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid. He was afraid. Have we ever had the experience of God speaking to us? God calling to us? What's the response? There's been many people recorded in the Bible through the centuries, through the millennia of the history of men in this world with God. God has spoken to them, and the responses have been different and varied for every person, myself included. Perhaps you have heard God's voice in a very loud and clear way. Perhaps you haven't had a demonstrative experience exactly in that sense. Jacob did. And his response was to say, to be afraid and say, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. That was the response of a man that had not a relationship with God. He found the presence of God. God spoke to him. He felt the presence, the house of God, to be in this place, the dwelling place of God, in fact. And he was afraid. What a contrast to some of his experiences in later life as he grew in his knowledge of God and his relationship with God. I read in Hebrews 10, because there's a complete contrast in Hebrews 10 about the experience of the believer in the Lord Jesus to the house of God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way, which he has dedicated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, sprinkled as to our hearts from a wicked conscience, and washed as to our body with pure water. I want to speak about my Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Because it's by coming to the Lord Jesus that you can have this relationship with God in Hebrews 10 here. You can have this wonderful approach into the house of God and enjoy the blessing of dwelling in God's presence. Even now, well, here on earth, in spirit. What is the difference between these experiences of Jacob and the experience of the believer in the Lord Jesus? What is so different about this? It's very simple. The difference is that in this world, and the Bible records this very clearly for us, God has sent his Son into this world, not that he might judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. I better quote this properly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. The difference is, friend, the Lord Jesus was sent into this world. My Saviour, he came in here, and in a few months' time, there might be many celebrations to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus into this world. He came here as a child and grew up and was marked out as completely different from every other person in this world. As he grew up, there was witnesses to it. And one day he got baptized and there was a voice heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Hear him. No other person in this world has had that testimony ever, that God has full delight in them. But my Saviour did. My Saviour Jesus had that testimony from the Almighty God that he was perfect and God delighted in him. It's important to note that, friend. God is perfectly delighted in Jesus. He was perfect. He walked here roughly 2,000 years ago, putting no foot wrong, walking entirely in the will of his Father, his Father God. As God and Father, we wonder at these things. We maybe know these things well, those of us who are believers. We've read the scriptures about the Lord Jesus many times together and individually. It's important that you know the Lord Jesus. Without coming to the Lord Jesus, there is no approach to God. There is no way to be in the blessing and favour of God's house, to be in the blessing and warmth of a relationship with God as Father, to come into the blessings of all these things that God desires to pour out upon you. I'm going to take a step back now and look at this world. From the very beginning, it was created perfect. Adam and Eve were in the garden, as we read of in Genesis, and the garden there was beautiful, and God was pleased with it, pleased with all the creation. And Adam and Eve were told to do everything, told not to do one thing in that garden, and eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that was the one thing that they did. They disobeyed God, and by doing so, they sinned, and in came sin into the whole creation of God. And sin is still with us today, probably 6,000 years approximately since. This creation has been manifestly spoiled by sin coming in. And God has seen this and looked on it through the millennia. And what has he done about it? Well, he has sent his Son into this world, that it might be an escape from the power and the current presence of sin in this world, even now. Because by Jesus, we have this way of escape made through into the presence of God. Escape from what, you might ask? Escape from the coming judgment. Make no mistake, sin and sins will be judged, have been judged in one sense, but that's not what I'm to preach about tonight. I am to preach about the love of God that exists as so fully showed out in the Lord Jesus. And how is that, and what is that the Lord Jesus has done? Friend, it is most wonderful. The Lord Jesus gave up his own life that I might live. He laid down his life as a sacrifice, as an offering, as a substitute for myself. And he suffered the penalty, the awful penalty of the wrath of God upon my sins. He took upon himself, my Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in that cross, on that cross, Calvary's cross. He was lifted up to die, and he suffered for me. Can you say that, friend? Did the Lord Jesus suffer for you? Do you know that in your heart? Do you have that full assurance of faith of which we talked of in our scripture earlier? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? There is no other way in which to escape the coming judgment for sins but to believe in the Lord Jesus. There is no other way in which to enter the house of God, and not as afraid and not as terrified, but as one who can embrace it and fully enter into the wonder of these things, having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way, which he has dedicated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. This gospel would be futile, completely futile, if the Lord Jesus is not currently alive. I preach a man. I believe in the Lord Jesus as risen from the dead. Yes, he died. And probably all men in this world will acknowledge a person called Jesus and that he died. But I believe not just that he died and that he bore my sins on that cross at Calvary, but that he has risen again. He was 3 days in the grave and on the third day rose, alive, firstborn from the dead. That's my Saviour, the one of whom I want to speak tonight. There is no other person to whom I can point to you in this world but the Lord Jesus. No other person whom you can run to for refuge from the awfulness, the pressing burden, and the conscience, and the guilt of sin, because the Lord Jesus can remove it, take it away fully. How can he do that? Because he shed his blood at Calvary's cross as an evidence of his death. And that blood is what takes away, washes away, cleans from sin. We have that at the beginning of Revelation. To him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the might to the ages of ages. Amen. That is my Saviour, the only one who could take upon himself the full wrath of God for my sins. Bear them completely so that there is no more wrath left for me. It has been exhausted. God's judgment has been fully exhausted upon my Saviour. For me there is nothing left but peace, mercy, forgiveness, blessing, the ability to enter into the house of God with this true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Because it doesn't depend on me and what I do and my works and how good or how bad I am, even now in this world. It depends upon the work of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who has said himself, "It is finished." The work has been completed by my Saviour, the work to entirely remove the burden of sin from my shoulders that's been pressing me down. It has been lifted by my Saviour that I might have this wonderful approach to God, be able to enter into God's house. The Holy of Holies even, it was forbidden. It speaks of in the Old Testament, there was a Holy of Holies there, which is what this speaks of, the temple of God, the dwelling place of God in this world, as it were. And it speaks about here about having boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the high priest, in the priestly order of things, the high priest could enter into this Holy of Holies but once a year, and that with blood shedding. An animal sacrifice had to be made as a symbol of what was to come in the Lord Jesus. And now, because we have the Lord Jesus, he has died and risen again. Because of his blood shedding, we have this new and living way which he has dedicated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a great priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, Let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith, not partial assurance. Not a certain amount of assurance, full assurance. There is no doubt for the believer in the Lord Jesus. Once you have been saved, it cannot be undone. It cannot be undone. That transaction, that approach you have to the Lord Jesus at that cross, once you have made that approach, once you've asked him into your heart, asked for forgiveness from the Lord Jesus, thanked him for saving you from your sins, it cannot be undone, friend. The full assurance of faith sprinkled us through our hearts from a wicked conscience. That burden of sin that weighs us down, we know if we try to hide, we pretend that others maybe don't know about it, but now and again it reveals itself and we fail. But no, sprinkled us to our hearts from a wicked conscience. Our consciences can be cleansed because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Washed as to our body with pure water. We made possible for us to enter even into this house of God. This wonderful place where God dwells, where all is at peace and rest. Because of what the Lord Jesus has done, the rest of God can be entered into even now because of Jesus. I wonder at this. The blessing of God, so that he saw our state in this world as full of sin and far from him. Which is really what being in a state of sin means. It means being far from God. And God stepped in and sent his own Son, that there might be a way of redemption, a way of approach to him, a way of release, of salvation, of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus. And only one person could but accomplish this. My Saviour, Jesus. How wonderful. How wonderful. What glory it is to God that he should so desire to secure souls out of this world for his glory through the Lord Jesus. He has given many souls to his Son to bring home to him. I am one of them. I know that for a fact. I do have this full assurance. Do you? Are you fully assured that there's a life beyond death? A life of a new character in the Lord Jesus. Are you fearing death? There's a brother in our meeting here, and one of his last gospels, he mentioned about the scripture in Corinthians, about death having lost its sting for the believer in the Lord Jesus. A man of 90 years old, or thereabouts, preaching from the heart. He'd known his Saviour a long time, longer than I've known Jesus. And it was real to him, as real to him in that day, as it was the day that he first believed, this Saviour had taken away the sting of death because he'd entered there first and broken its power and holds the key of death and Hades in his hands. My Saviour has the power of the key of death and Hades in his hands. And for the Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus, the disciple, the follower of the Lord Jesus, death has indeed lost its sting. Because we have a promise of eternal life, a new form of life, a new character of life. And we have some details in the scriptures about what that kind of life that is. It speaks about getting new bodies and rising to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. Those that died rising first, and then we the living who remain. I better quote it correctly. The wonderful, wonderful hope of the believer in the Lord Jesus. Something out with and beyond all this world. That we shouldn't be stuck in our homes forever. Afraid of this coronavirus. Because we have a hope beyond this world. For if we believe that Jesus has died, this is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus has died and has risen again, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we, the living who remain to the coming of the Lord, are in no way to anticipate those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. My hope, friend, is out with this world. Is with Christ in glory, in the house of God, in the presence of God, to be there forever. That is my hope. My Saviour is coming for me soon. Whether I die first or I'm still living when he comes, it matters not. Either way, I shall be with him. If I have to pass through death, so be it. But afterwards, it is the presence of the Lord Jesus. Death has lost its sting. There is something beyond death, a hope, a wonderful hope that cannot be taken away. And it's through Jesus, this new and living way, that we have the entry into God's presence. Let us also, therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My Saviour is sitting on the throne of God right now, at the right hand of God in heaven. He took his place there when he rose from the dead and ascended in the view of his disciples and others. My Saviour is living today and able to save you, as he saved me and saved so many others in this last millennium, two millennia. And even then, before the Lord Jesus, there was those who had faith and looked on to him. In Hebrews 11, it speaks in the faith chapter of the many patriarchs, those who had gone before that had faith in God. And it speaks about what faith is. Now, faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I haven't seen heaven. I haven't seen my Saviour Jesus. I don't know what he looks like. But I know, I have this full assurance because of what he's done, and that God is pleased with what he's done, and that God is pleased with Jesus. God has demonstrated that by raising him from the dead. And even more so, my Saviour has taken up a place at the right hand of God. And because of this, I have entry into God's house, even now. I wonder at this, friend. May you come into this joy and blessing too. May it affect your heart. May it cause you to flow out in joy and praise to God. Oh, how I wish to know the Lord Jesus more, even now, because I'll know him. I'll be able to praise him throughout all eternity for what he's done, the greatness of it, the perfection of it, the completeness of it, that nothing is resting on me at all. All has been done by my Saviour. What a wonderful thought. The question now is, do you also know the Lord Jesus? Have you seen him on that tree? Have you had your eyes of this heart and soul opened to see Jesus? That you might indeed have this faith to believe in him. I pray that it might be so. There might be many souls saved, even yet now, for the glory of God. There is coming a day of judgment. Not yet, but there is coming a day. And I don't know when, but very soon, when God will judge the whole habitable earth in righteousness. Sobering thought. All of us are sinful. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. The standard of perfection, which is what God demands to enter into his presence, none of us can meet. But the Lord Jesus has met it. And if you believe in him, you can be accounted of as righteous through faith. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some account of delay, but is long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish. This is the current disposition of God towards you. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a rushing noise, and the elements burning with heat shall be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it shall be burnt up. All these things then being to be dissolved, what ought ye to be in holy conversation of godliness, waiting for hastening the coming day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements burning with heat shall melt. But, according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. There's so many more blessings to enter into through knowledge of God, the house of God, the presence of God, knowledge of himself, our Father. The Lord Jesus desired that those who believe in him should also have a relationship with God, as was his relationship too. Although being God himself, he was a man of prayer. Spent nights in prayer. His relationship with God is perfect, was perfect. My relationship with God is not perfect. I can be honest about that. But thankfully, because of what Jesus has done, I am going to be blessed regardless of how poor or feeble or how sinful I have been or am or even will be. God can bless me. And God delights to bless me. That's his attitude towards everyone in this world today, is to bless us. But only through Jesus. I just end there and ask that God may bless the word spoken, that it might find the seed being sown, may it find the good ground, that there might be fruit towards God from the word spoken, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified and magnified, excelled in our views. I just ask that this might be the case. And end there. May God bless the word for his name's sake.